Good evening. Thankful to have another opportunity to speak tonight. And we'll have a part two of a lesson that we began the last time I spoke on Sunday evening. If you might recall, we were studying concerning the friendship, the brotherly love that existed between David and Jonathan. We'll quickly review a few of the passages that we reviewed then, and then consider some other aspects of their friendship that they had that serves as a model for us to learn from and to model the way that we work with each other as well. In 2 Samuel chapter 1, we read there where David lamented the loss of Jonathan. In verse 26 there, as Jonathan had been killed along with his father and brothers, he noted there, "I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perished?" So we see there that in the end that David, as he recollected the times that he and Jonathan had had together, that he was very distressed at the loss of Jonathan, and he considered Jonathan to be his brother. So as we think about this, it reminds us that, you know, this is brotherly love that existed between Jonathan and David, and we need to consider that this is one of the key things that the Lord tells us that we need to have as we grow in Christ, that we need to have that brotherly love. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, we read that as well when Jonathan and David were first coming to know each other. There in 1 Samuel 18, as David had been speaking there to Saul, it says, "It came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." And then in verse 3, we noted there, it says, "Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul." So we saw there how David and Jonathan shared a common faith, and when Jonathan was there listening to David, he recognized that great faith that David had. David had just come from killing Goliath, and of course he was leading the armies of Israel, and he was faithful in showing his faith in all of those things that he did. And Jonathan saw those things, and he understood that this also was an individual like himself that was seeking to serve the Lord with all of his being. And so his soul was knit, it says here, with the soul of David. And they made a covenant between themselves. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, in verse 35, we'll read this again later as we get further down in our lesson, but we mentioned this also in our first lesson, that they met during this time, and actually in verse 42, there they noted, it says, "Jonathan said to David, Go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, The Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever. And he rose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city." So we see there that this friendship, this relationship that David and Jonathan had, it was one that it says the Lord was between them. And that's something that we all need to be considering in our relationships with one another. Can we say that the Lord is between us? And of course, that really points out that friendship needs to be based on a common faith, and that we need to be having the same mind as we are joined together in our friendships here. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14 a commandment that the Lord gives us there, where he tells us to be not unequally yoked or joined together with unbelievers. And he says, what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion, what partnership has light with darkness? So we need to consider how we are yoking ourselves together. We need to consider it needs to be in the manner that Jonathan and David were yoked together. They shared that common faith. We're reminded of what the Lord teaches us in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, where he says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" And of course, that agreement, we understand, always has to be based on that faith, that common faith that we need to share in God. And certainly David and Jonathan exhibited that. And so that friendship that they had does serve as a model for all of us. And as we think further about that model of friendship that they had, we see the faithfulness and the trust that they had with each other. And we need to consider that as we look further. Before we go back into the Old Testament, we want to consider, though, what the Lord teaches us in 2 Peter chapter 1 concerning the spiritual growth process that he wants all of us to be working on literally every day. There in 2 Peter 1 and verse 5, he says, "Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." So we see here that where the Lord puts brotherly kindness is something that we continue to build upon, starting with our faith. And he goes through all of these qualities that the Lord wants us to be growing in. But we notice there in verse 7, as we are living in godliness, that we need to be adding brotherly kindness to that. And certainly as we think of the example of David and Jonathan, that these were two very godly men who served the Lord with all of their being. And of course, that was the foundation that made for that trust that they had with each other. And we always need to consider that that is a very important part of our brotherly love with one another, is that number one, that common foundation, but number two, or another point, is that we need to consider that faithfulness and that trust that we should be having. And that requires us to be faithful. The Lord in Luke chapter 16, in verse 10, he says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." And so we all need to be considering in everything that we're doing, even the little things, are we being faithful? And of course, as we grow in our faithfulness in those little things, it helps us to become more and more faithful. And of course, that is part of that foundation that we need to have in order to have the true kind of brotherly love that the Lord wants from each of us. In 3 John chapter 1, we read here in verses 5 and 6 concerning a brother in Christ named Gaius. And here John is writing to him concerning the things that he has been doing, concerning his faithfulness in his work with the church. In verse 5, he says, "Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well." So here we see that Gaius was being held up here as being one that he said, whatever you do, or thou doest faithfully, whatever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. So here was Gaius being very faithful in his service to his brethren. And we need to consider that we need to be having that same faithfulness as well. These brethren here were, to John, they were bearing witness to him of the things that Gaius had done before the church. And so certainly we see that he is a model as well for us to consider in the scriptures. And we need to be considering our brethren and how we hopefully are working with them in this same way. As we think about David and Jonathan, we realize that certainly just the fact that David went to Jonathan, here was Jonathan the son of the king. And the king, of course, as we recall from some of our previous studies, at this particular point, David is on the run. And as we're getting ready to go back to 1 Samuel chapter 20, we recall that in chapter 19, he had gone to Samuel to seek counsel from Samuel. And he had to flee from where he was there with Samuel in Naoth. And so Saul was literally going after him and chasing him. But where does David turn after he is seeking that counsel from Samuel? Well, he turns back to his friend Jonathan. So certainly David had that trust there to even go to Jonathan, being the son of the one who is seeking his life. Proverbs 11 and verse 13, here he says, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. David certainly understood that Jonathan was faithful, and that Jonathan wasn't going to reveal anything about David being there in Jerusalem. Certainly he had, could have had that opportunity, but David understood that Jonathan was faithful in these things and that he wasn't going to reveal these things, as David was trying to stay away from Saul at this point and flee from Saul. In Psalm 26, we'll look at verses 1 through 12 here to consider how David spoke of how he walked in his integrity. And we all need to consider how we need to walk in integrity as well. And that is part of that foundation that we need to have in our relationships with one another. In verse 1 here, it says, a psalm of David. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. And that literally is his completeness. He says, I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers, that is, liars. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocency, so I will compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwells. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot stands in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. So David here we see as he recollects the things that he has done. He says, I will walk in my integrity. And he starts out the passage that way in verse 1. And there near the very end of that psalm, he says it again, that he will walk in his integrity. And he mentions many of the things that were part of that integrity, how he would not associate himself with these ones who were evil and not serving the Lord. In 1 Kings chapter 9, the Lord gives the testimony that, well, yes, indeed, David was walking in integrity. As the Lord is speaking to Solomon here, he recalls and brings up that example that David gave in verse 4. The Lord tells Solomon, he says, if you will walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. So here, the Lord's using David as the model for Solomon to consider. If you will walk in integrity of heart and uprightness like David, your father walked. And so that, again, we have another great testimony from the Lord in of David and how he lived, the manner of life that he lived. And so we understand then that this integrity was something that was part of that friendship that both he and Jonathan had. Now, kind of on the other side of the coin, so to speak, in Micah chapter 7, this was a very bad time for Israel. And the Lord here notes some of the situations, and it's interesting, some of the things that he says here. We'll begin in verse 1. He says, woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desires the first ripe fruit. Note here in verse 2, the good man has perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asks and the judge asks for a reward. And the great man, he utters his mischievous desire. So they wrap it up. The best of them is as a briar, The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation comes. Now shall be their perplexity. Trust not ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lies in thy bosom. For the son dishonors the father. The daughter rises up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. So here we see as the Lord is painting this picture of the very sad condition of Israel. He mentions many things that are going on. The fact that the good man has perished out of the earth. There's no one who's upright. And he talks about the things that ought to be, but that aren't at this point. And we notice in particular in verse 5 where he says, trust ye not in a friend. That word trust there is literally to support. Well, why not? Why were they not to trust in a friend? Well, because of what he said in verse 2, that the good man had perished. There were not any upright. And so those that claimed to be a friend, what were they really? Were they someone that they were going to be able to put their trust in? And the Lord says, no, don't trust in the friend. Don't trust in these different ones. And so the Lord is pointing out here what ought to be the case, right? As we consider a friend, it is one who in whom we can put our trust, in whom we should be able to put our trust. Proverbs 25 and verse 19. Here it says, confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. That doesn't sound too good, does it, right? But of course, we understand, our feet, they're supposed to provide us that support. But what about one that's out of joint? Is that going to support us the way it should? Certainly not. What about that broken tooth? Is it going to do the things that it's meant to do? Well, certainly not. And so he's making those comparisons then to someone who puts their confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble. So again, we see that it's important for us to be faithful and to be one who can provide that support in time of need. And certainly, as we now go back to 1 Samuel chapter 20, David was certainly at a time where he was in need. And we're going to see here how Jonathan responded in the situation for David. And so we'll begin in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 1. And David fled from Naoth and Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, what have I done? What is mine iniquity and what is my sin before thy father that he seeks my life? And he said unto him, God forbid, thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. And David sware moreover and said, thy father certainly knows that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord lives, and as thy soul lives, there is but a step between me and death. And then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever thy soul desires, I will even do it for thee. So we note here at the beginning in verse 1 the humility that David shows as he comes to Jonathan. The very first thing that he asks is, what have I done that thy father seeks my life? So here David was earnestly, honestly seeking to know, well, was there something that he needed to know about that Jonathan knew about? And certainly he understood that if there was, that Jonathan would tell him. We recall what the Lord teaches in Proverbs 27 in verses 5 and 6. Here he says, open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. David understood that Jonathan was his friend, and he understood that if there was something that he had done, that Jonathan would be faithful in telling him the things that he had done that would need to be corrected here. But of course, in this case, there wasn't. But as we go on, we see that Jonathan didn't quite have a good picture of things, and he felt that his father would be very open with him, and as he says there in verse 2, that his father would tell him if the things that David said were true. Well, of course, that was incorrect, but we see, again, David's response to Jonathan. He was very patient with Jonathan and his responses. And in verse 3, we see him explaining to Saul that, Saul understood that David had found favor with Jonathan. There would be a very good reason that Saul would not be revealing everything that he was planning to do to his son Jonathan. And so in verse 3, he reiterates, there is a step between me and death. Now, if your friend came and told you that, what hopefully would be our reaction to someone who said something like that? Well, hopefully it would be the same as what Jonathan said, where he said, whatsoever thy soul desires, I will do it for thee. So here was David in that time of need, and Jonathan was saying, whatever you need, I will do it for you. And so as we continue here in verse 5, it says, David said unto Jonathan, behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat. But let me go, that I may hide myself in the field unto the third day at even. If thy father at all miss me, then say, David earnestly asked leave of me, that he might run to Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. And notice verse 7. If you say thus, it is well, thy servant shall have peace. But if he be very wroth, then be sure that evil is determined by him. Therefore, thou shalt deal kindly with thy servant, for thou hast brought thy servant into a covenant of the Lord with thee. Notwithstanding, if there be in me iniquity, slay me thyself, for why shouldest thou bring me to thy father? And Jonathan said, far be it from thee. For if I knew certainly that evil were determined by my father to come upon thee, then would not I tell it thee. So we notice in verse 7 there, what was David seeking yet again? You know, how many times have we read already where Saul had been seeking the life of David and made multiple attempts to kill David? Yet here was David one more time looking for a way to make peace. And so he determines to go through with this plan where Jonathan, he would be absent from the feast that the king was going to hold very shortly. And that Jonathan would then note that response, and that would indicate whether Saul was going to be one who would be willing to again have peace as he had done before. So we see again how David was intent upon being a peacemaker. We've recently studied in our Wednesday night class concerning being peacemakers, and Brother John has had some things as well. And we might recall there in Matthew 5 and verse 9 where it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And so as David was here working with Jonathan, he was seeking peace in these matters. And as he was seeking Jonathan's help, he was seeking that help to try to find a way to make peace. And so as we continue on, we're not going to read through this whole account in this chapter. But we see in verse 13 that Jonathan says, the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it please my father to do thee evil, then I will show it thee and send thee away that thou mayest go in peace. And the Lord be with thee as he has been with my father. So again, we see this faithfulness coming out with Jonathan that says, well, if my father Saul is determined to do evil, I'm going to let you know that so that David would be able to depart in peace. As we continue further down, we see Jonathan making another covenant here with David. In verse 15, he says, but thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord has cut off the enemies of David, everyone from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. So once again, Jonathan knew that he could count on David's faithfulness. And even after Jonathan was gone, Jonathan made this covenant with David that he would show kindness to Jonathan's house forever. And Lord willing, sometime in the future, as we get further into our studies of David, we'll see some of the things that David did as a part of this covenant that was made at this particular point in time. Now, as we go down a few more verses in verse 23, he says, "As touching the matter which that thou and I have spoken of, behold, the Lord be between thee and me forever." So here, David is again pointing out that it's the Lord that is between Jonathan and David, and certainly indicating that he is going to be faithful in keeping this covenant that he has made with Jonathan. Now, Jonathan continues in this plan that David asked him to be a part of. And so Jonathan was there at the feast with his father. David was missing the first day, and then the second day comes around. In verse 27, it says, "It came to pass on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. And Saul said unto Jonathan his son, Wherefore comes not the son of Jesse to eat, neither yesterday nor today?" So at this point, Saul is very suspicious that, well, okay, maybe it was all right that David missed that first day of the feast, but now he's not there again for the second day. And so he raises the question with Jonathan. And so further down, Jonathan explains that David has gone to Bethlehem to make a sacrifice. And we see the response that David was telling Jonathan to look out for from Saul, to see what Saul's heart was toward David and whether there would be any possibility of peace. And so in verse 30, it says, "Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, Thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse lives upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die." So we see Saul's motives clearly brought out now, that he understands that David is a threat to the throne and to Jonathan becoming the king. And he makes that very clear to Jonathan. And of course, he's very angry as he's making these statements and uses these very hard words against Jonathan. But yet we see Jonathan once again being willing to come to the defense of David, despite the angry response from Saul. In verse 32, "Jonathan answered Saul his father and said unto him, Wherefore shall he be slain? What has he done?" So Jonathan is asking for the evidence. What is it that David has done that he deserves to die? And so we see Saul was in such a fit of anger here in verse 33 that now he casts a javelin at his own son out of anger here. And so in verse 33, it says, "Whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David." So Jonathan got the message that yes, indeed, Saul was very, very determined to kill David. And so in verse 34, it says, "Jonathan rose from the table in fierce anger and did eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David because his father had done him shame." So Jonathan fully understood that despite the fact that Saul was his father, he understood that Saul was completely in the wrong on the things that he was saying and that he was intending to do, and that this was a shame. And so he was very grieved for David because of this evil that Saul was intending to do. We're reminded of what the Lord says about the ones who are going to dwell with him in Psalm 15. We see here the fact that Jonathan was willing to stand up in defense of David despite the own hurt that would bring to Jonathan himself. We see that his own father was seeking to kill him when he was trying to make this defense. But in Psalm 15, there in verse 1, this psalm starts out by asking the question, who is going to abide in the Lord's tabernacle? Who is going to dwell in the Lord's holy hill? And we see that he mentions a number of aspects of those who are going to be with the Lord in the end. He starts out in verse 2 by talking about, well, it's him that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. But then he goes on in verse 4, it says, "But he honors them that fear the Lord, he that swears to his own hurt and changes not." So here, Jonathan had made this promise to David that he was going to go speak to his father and that he would bring back the answer and the response of David, his father. And here, Jonathan's faithfulness to David comes out yet again. And Jonathan fits this description, right? He said he would do these things, and it was very much to his own hurt. He was almost killed over the fact that he was being faithful to David because he knew that David was walking uprightly. Jonathan was seeking the truth, and he was after the truth, just as we saw there in verse 2. The ones that will be with the Lord are those that walk uprightly and who speak the truth. And Jonathan was one who was like that. And here he was seeking again to defend David. And so we see in the end, as we get back to 1 Samuel 20, towards the very end of that chapter, he comes back to David in verse 42. Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever.'" So Jonathan comes back and faithfully delivers that message that he said he would give, that yes, indeed, Saul was going to be after him. And so he tells David, "You're going to have to go and go in peace here." It's very sad that this was the next to the last time that these two men met. The very last time that's recorded that we know of is in 1 Samuel 23. And that was yet another time where Jonathan came to help David. And just very briefly, we're out of time, but very briefly there in 1 Samuel chapter 23, this was a time much later when Saul was still chasing David and seeking his life. In verse 14, it says, "Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand." So Saul was literally every single day going after David's life. And so we see here at this particular point in time in 1 Samuel 23, in verse 16, Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, "Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knows." And they too made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. So we see here this very last meeting between Jonathan and David. Once again, Jonathan was going to David in time of trouble. Once again, Jonathan was demonstrating that faithfulness there with David. Jonathan understood what the Lord's intention was with David, that David would be the king. And he said so there in verse 17. But here, with this very last time that they met, what was the motivation? Well, it was that Saul went to David, as it says there in verse 6, to strengthen his hand in God. So certainly we see here many, many times as these two men were friends with one another, many times where they came together and showed their faithfulness to each other because of their faithfulness in the Lord. And so as we consider how the Lord wants us to be friends, we need to remember the example that we have here with David and Jonathan, that it was based on the Lord and serving the Lord and being faithful in the Lord. And that led to them having the Lord's kind of brotherly love that he describes to us in the scriptures. And so I hope we all will be encouraged to walk more fully in these steps of brotherly love with one another.